Chapter 3. John thought he was pretty good at dealing with a wide range of different situations. For one thing, being the sheriff for 7 years had shown him the true capacity of human nature, both in the positive and negative. And being the father to a kid like Stiles had pretty much prepared him for anything else, in theory at least. John had never, not for one moment in his life, regretted that Stiles was his son. When other parents at the sixth grade talent show stared at him with bewildered pity after Stiles performed, he just felt bad for them, that they would never be lucky enough to have a son who would perform a dramatic reenactment of Molly Pitcher during the Battle of Monmouth, portraying everyone from Molly and her husband, other soldiers, and even the cannonballs, just because his mum had once told him the story one time, when he had said girls weren't tough. What did the other parents have? Just a kid who begrudgingly tap danced to Tea for Two, or played Moonlight Sonata very, very badly. Stiles was one of a kind. That didn't mean that there weren't times that being a father to Stiles wasn't a little trying. Like the time he wanted a pet rat, but decided instead of getting a nice, clean one from a pet store, he tried to catch his own, and soon after discovered the joy of getting multiple rabies shots in the stomach. Or the time he convinced Scott that the best way to show that they were grown up enough to not need a babysitter was to shave like real men. Only they were 7 at the time, so the only thing they had available to shave was their heads. Luckily, Melissa McCall was, due to her profession and already prolonged exposure to Stiles, not particularly prone to freaking out when Stiles accidentally nicked Scott's ear. And the time right now, where he was trying to find a way to ask if Stiles had been ineptly trying to flirt with one of his deputies. Awkward as hell, but still, he'd take it over the rat any day. They were almost finished with their food. Stiles did, in fact, steal most of his fries. He could say that it was for John's own good all he wanted, but he didn't have to obviously enjoy them that much. When John finally mustered up the will to broach the subject. "So, Stiles, you still interested in that Martin girl?" "Yes," Stiles said. "I mean, yeah, of course. Lydia's fantastic. How could anyone not be interested?" Why are you asking?" "'Cause it's not like I'm going to get her pregnant, 'cause she's with Jackson. But I really wouldn't worry that he's going to get her pregnant either, 'cause she's way too secret smart and methodical to let Jackson even touch her if there was a chance to... Not that I know what they do. Or what anyone does. Not that anyone does anything. Some things are best saved for the marriage bed, right, Dad?" Stiles rambled, finally grabbing the rest of his French dip and shoving it in his mouth as if to stop himself from speaking. As Stiles attempted to chew the overlarge chunk of sandwich, it occurred to John that maybe he should have initiated this conversation later in the day. At least then it'd be much easier to justify wishing he had a beer right now. Or something stronger. "That wasn't what I was asking, though I suppose it's good to know I won't be a grandfather anytime soon. And just so you know, I was so relieved to hear that I actually didn't hear a single word of anything you said afterwards." Stiles managed to swallow his food and then promptly took a giant swig of soda. "It wasn't anything worth listening to anyway. So, what were you trying to ask?" "Well, I was just wondering if you still had a crush on Lydia, or if your affections had been at least partially transferred elsewhere. Possibly to someone we both know pretty well?" A spot of color appeared on Stiles' cheeks, at least partially confirming John's suspicions. Maya had been the same way, never able to truly hold anything back. Funny how seeing her in Stiles didn't hurt as much as it used to. For his part, Stiles, for lack of any other distractions, having finished off both his food and drink, was fishing ice cubes out of his glass and crunching down on them one by one. "Stiles? I don't know what you're talking about, Style said carefully around a piece of ice. So, if I said that the other day Derek was showing me pictures of his new girlfriend on his phone... John trailed off as Styles looked like John had kicked an entire box full of puppies right in front of him, before trying to school his face back into disinterested teenager. Even if John was being generous, it was only marginally successful at best. I'd call you a liar, because Derek is somehow even worse off with the functions on his phone than you are. He didn't even know his phone had a camera function till 2 weeks ago, and that was only because I showed him. I know. I saw you trying to teach him how to use it. And then I saw you make him take a picture with you. Styles gave up on the ice and dropped his head to his hands. Why are you asking me this stuff? Can't you let your own son pine in peace? Pining? How long have you had a crush on Derek that it's moved on to full pining already? I swore you were head over heels for Lydia for years. My affections may have run concurrent for a couple of years, like maybe 6 of them. John stared at his son. 6 years. Well, it's not like I was two-timing. I wasn't actually dating either one, so it's no big deal. Styles, John sighed. Why didn't you ever tell me about this? Lord knows I've heard enough about the finer attributes of Lydia Martin over the years. And you know I don't have a problem with you liking boys. We discovered that the time you forgot to clear the browser history, remember? Yeah, that was a very mortifying yet touching Stilinski Man moment that I really wish you would never bring up again. Styles took a breath and continued. The thing is, I tried to talk to Scott about it when I was 12, but he got... But he just got that really confused look on his face. You know the one, right? John nodded wearily. Not like mean or judgy or anything, but I just kind of figured it was easier to just try and focus on the girl who was my own age instead of the guy who was 5 years older. And Lydia kind of had to put up with me no matter what because of school. But what if Derek didn't like the idea of some little kid having a crush on him? That he let me hang out with him sometimes was so much more than any high schooler had to do. If he stopped letting me be around him, I don't know what I would have. And then he went to college, and then he started working for you, and there just never seemed to be a good reason or time to bring it up. And, you know, the fact I have even less of a chance with him than with Lydia, Styles said, not a little sadly. So, John had his suspicions proven correct, and then some. But now he was at a loss for what to do. This sounded very different from when Styles talked about Lydia. Even if he went on about how a jerk like Jackson didn't deserve her, he would talk a mile a minute, filled with righteous indignation on her behalf. He never looked like the lost and scared kid he had long since grown out of being. John looked at Styles across the booth, now staring forlornly at a smear of ketchup on his plate. Styles, I want you to be happy. I know, Dad, Styles said with a watery smile. John turned to look out the window. You're going to turn 18 in a few weeks. Dad? I'm not going to pimp my deputy out to you. Or vice versa. But if two adults, who I know to be good men, want to try and make something work, well, that's just fine by me, John said firmly. Styles gaped at him. Dad, it's great to know my great non-existent homosexual romance has your blessing, but the non-existent part is still really the main issue. You saying you're not happy to have my blessing? There's nothing to bless! Your mother and I danced around each other for ages before we... I'm just saying. If you do want to try, I support you, all right? Emotionally. I meant it about not pimping either of you out. Dad, that's actually... Thank you, Dad. John reached across the table and took hold of Styles' hand. No problem, Styles, he said with a squeeze. Returning the squeeze, Styles said, But please, never say the word pimp in conjunction with me or anyone I know ever again. Some things a son just isn't meant to hear come out of his father's mouth. Styles decided to go home instead of back to the station house, and John pretended that his given reason of wanting to get ahead on some chemistry work wasn't just an excuse. He went into his office and started on the budgetary paperwork that he had been putting off for ages. He didn't foresee any problems for this year, but it was a pain in the ass to have to justify everything from new tack vests and training to an increase in the number of staples they anticipated using. After about 45 minutes of soul-sucking itemizing, John decided he deserved a coffee break for a job nowhere near done, let alone done well. He grabbed his mug, one that Styles had made for him at some pottery painting place that used to be downtown when he was in elementary school. Hence why it said, World's Best Dad on it, and also featured a crudely painted depiction of Batman. Every other Christmas, someone around the station would try to gift him a new one that always ended up on the community use shelf. After John had doctored his coffee to something vaguely drinkable, and made a mental note to see if he could sneak a new coffee maker into the budget, he started back to his office, stopping when something caught his eye. Deputy Derek Hale did not look good. His chair was positioned as if he had just sat down or was preparing to get up, but it had been that way since John first went for his coffee. And as John walked closer, he could see that Derek's face was at least two shades paler than it should be. His eyes, though seeming to be aimed at the increasingly uneasy-looking Deputy Burns' desk, were glazed and unfocused. John walked over, blocking Derek's sightline to Burns' desk, much to the other deputy's obvious relief. Derek didn't acknowledge his presence until John reached out to touch his shoulder. "Derek? You all right, son?" John asked. Derek started and his eyes unclouded, looking more alert, but still not resembling the serious and responsible man John knew. "I'm all right, I'm just..." Derek started, but trailed off, a lost look coming over his face. "Derek, I think you should go home for the day. You don't look so hot." He actually looked like his world had just been upended, but John wasn't sure how well actually saying that would go over. "But I don't get sick," Derek protested weakly. "There's a first time for everything. Go home. Get some rest. Let Amelia mother you a little, all right?" For some reason, John was reminded of trying to cajole a feverish 6-year-old Styles into actually swallowing his medicine instead of spitting it out because it tasted bad. "All right," Derek conceded. "I should be fine for tomorrow, though. Just feel better, okay? You don't do anyone good, least of all yourself, working sick," said John, and started walking back to his office. He stopped by the door to make sure Derek was actually going to leave. He thought back to his lunch with Styles and almost couldn't help what he said next. "Oh, and Derek? Don't worry if you're not feeling better by tomorrow. I'll send Styles over with some soup." He went into his office before he could see what, if any, reaction Derek had. Still, he had kept his word. Offering to send Styles over was just being a concerned employer. Nothing at all like pimping out his son, because Styles was right, and that was really not a word a father should be using no matter what the circumstances. Especially when it was not the case in any way, shape, or form. Because that's just weird. He took a drink of his cooling coffee and got out his cell to text Styles. "Can you make a batch of your mom's chicken soup? Dad." "Why? You feeling sick? Styles." "Just in case. Dad." Laura had called Amelia as soon as Derek left her sight, so the three of them, Amelia, Justin, and Laura, were ready and waiting in the living room for when he came home. Amelia knew that this must be hard for Derek. And for him to have willfully tuned out what his instincts had been telling him was worrisome, and made her heart break once more for how badly he had been used. But she couldn't deny that, more than anything, she was also just so damn happy. Trying to stay calm, to not push when she could feel one of her children slowly coming apart at the seams, had been nigh unbearable. But now, she knew there were real issues to be dealt with. Taking the Stilinskys into their confidence about the Hale family's true nature, whether John would approve once he knew everything, if Stiles would want the bite or choose to stay human, or, more importantly, if he even felt the same for Derek as Derek felt for him. She knew that just because Derek had finally come to his senses didn't mean things were even close to simple. Still, Amelia couldn't help it if the thought that kept coming to the forefront of her mind was where she could get customized cake toppers to look like Derek and Stiles. Laura was tapping her nails impatiently against the end table, while Justin was sitting so still in his chair that Amelia knew that he was just as excited and anxious as his wife and daughter were, if not more. Amelia had learned very early in their courtship, after a few misunderstandings, that the more Justin held back, the more he was feeling. And right now, if it wasn't for her werewolf hearing, she would have doubted that the man was even breathing. At the sound of Derek's car pulling up, all of them perked up, but remained where they were seated. It was best for Derek to come to them. The individual sounds of Derek coming closer each rang out with crystal clarity to his waiting family. The cessation of the car motor's hum as he turned the key, the car door swinging open, creaking faintly, and then a dull clunk as it was slammed shut. Purposeful but uneven footsteps, at first slightly muted by the earth, then clearer and hollow once they reached the porch steps. The click of a hand turning the doorknob, the protestation of the hinges, the brief whoosh of the air. The footsteps, coming closer as the door slowly fell back into place with a small thud. And then he was there in the room. Derek, her poor, lost little boy. "Will you come sit with me, Derek?" "I think you know what we would all like to talk about," Amelia said as she patted the space next to her on the sofa. He walked to her, pale and noticeably shaky. When he reached the sofa, he didn't sit down next to his mother. Instead, he curled up on it as best he could, like he did when he was little, and laid his head in his mother's lap. And, as when he was small, Amelia tenderly stroked his hair. "Mum, I was wrong. I didn't want to risk something like Kate again, because I wanted her, even though I knew she wasn't really... If I could almost let that happen with her... What if I brought another monster into our lives?" Amelia let Derek continue, not daring to reassure him or to stop her hand's ministrations to wipe away the tears trickling down her face. "I never wanted to do anything that could ever hurt you like that again, but I was so wrong. I need a mate to be all right." "We all just want you to be whole and healthy, Derek," Justin said stiffly, as he rose to stand behind the sofa and put a hand on Derek's shoulder. "I need Stiles. How could I not realize I need Stiles? He's the farthest thing from a monster there could be. I need to be with him. What will I do when he leaves and finds someone? Even if I didn't know what he was to me, he still helped me just by being." "You don't know that he'll find someone else," Amelia said gently. "He will, because he's secretly wonderful. It's a miracle no one's tried to take him from me already," Derek said, with such sincerity that Amelia couldn't help but smile at the affection that had always been an undercurrent when Derek spoke about Stiles, but was now there plainly on the surface. Honestly, the whole family was responsible for missing the obvious. "Well, you just have to make sure he doesn't want to find anyone else," Laura said, having migrated closer and taking one of Derek's hands in hers. Now that we all know that I was right, you have to take control instead of this slow decay business that you've embraced for years. She went on, ignoring the glares of both her parents. Now is the time for you to get your act together and start courting. I'm sure everyone here agrees that Styles is a guy who deserves a proper wooing.